turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 3. Tonight I want to give you a message. I want to encourage your heart. You know, midweek service, like I said, it started out as God-fearing Christians coming together to pray for their loved ones. But we see in our day and time that we see the world becoming so oppressed. We see the job world becoming so oppressed on us that we need a Wednesday night service. And there may be some here tonight that you may be saying, God, I can't serve you anymore. You may be here tonight and say, Lord, I've messed up this week. I'm done. There may be some of us in here tonight that are saying, if God, if you don't show me something tonight, then I'm going to quit church. There may be some teenagers here tonight saying, Lord, I've done some things that you'll never forgive me for. But tonight I want to encourage you out of the Word of God. I want to encourage you with the 12 disciples. I want to talk about just three of those disciples. You know, Jesus was, He is God in the flesh. He was every bit of God as He was every bit of man. Amen? And a lot of times we get caught up on numbers. A lot of times we get caught up on, well, Lord, I've had this many, this many, and this many, and this many, and this many saved. And we get caught up on numbers and thinking we're impressing man. We think we're impressing God. But we see here out of the Word of God that Jesus Himself only had 12. He started out with 12, and one of them was the devil. Amen? And so I want to encourage you tonight, out of Mark chapter number 3, we're going to start out with verse number 13. The Bible says, And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, his surname Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Tonight I want to talk about those disciples. Here was Jesus. Here he was coming down from heaven, and you think he was going to start this biggest and most magnificent church. But I see this group of men, this is what I call misfits. They were a misfit. Here was a few of them that were, one of them was a tax collector. He was hated by the community. A few of them were fishermen of the lowliest life. But God chose these men. And as I studied these men are a picture of every one of us in this room. They're a picture of every one of us. Now, a disciple, in order to be a disciple, it means that you are a follower or a learner of Jesus. So every one of us in here are disciples. Now, when you think of disciples, you always think of the 12. But it's not just talking, but when the Bible talks about disciples, it's not just the 12. Now, you know there was two disciples that were walking to Emmaus. And over the years, there's been controversy, there's been debates about who those two disciples were. Well, we know one of them was Cleophas, right? But who was the other one? So they say, well, it may have been John. Another one said, it may have been Peter. Well, if you read in the verse of Scripture, after they had already spoke with Jesus and after their heart burned, they returned the 7.5 miles back to Jerusalem and met with the who? With what? The 11. So being a disciple doesn't mean that you're one of the 12. Being a disciple means that you were a follower and a learner of Jesus. They did what they did. This is what they did. They followed Jesus and learned of Him. What a privilege it must have been to walk and to talk with Jesus as He preached His message and performed His miracles. What an opportunity that would have been. Amen. But tonight I'm not going to take too much of your time. That's the famous last words of a Baptist preacher. Amen. You know, Brother Joe tells the church, he gives three conclusions. He always tells them, he said, I'm going to let you out about 12-ish. He said, now 12:59 is still 12-ish. Amen. So I'm going to do my best, amen? But there's three of them I want to point out tonight, and I believe this is a picture of every one of us here tonight. The first one I want to look at tonight is what I call the doubting one. And when I say the doubting one, every one of us are going to say, Thomas. That's exactly right. Thomas is known as the doubting Thomas. Thomas is known as the one his name also means double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He no doubt was called this because of his tendency to slow to believe. He has been called doubting Thomas many times, but we must remember that when he did see the living Christ, he confessed him and said, "My Lord, my God." And I see tonight that maybe there's someone here in this room, that there's some of us tonight that said, "Lord, you can't use me. I've doubted you." There may be some here tonight that's saying, "Lord, God can't use me. I've got too much doubt in my heart." You realize the impossibilities we've encountered because of our doubt? You know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We can't please God unless we have faith. Now, it doesn't say without faith it's hard to please God. Without faith it's difficult to please God. No, the Bible says it's impossible. So the impossibilities that we've encountered in our life because of our doubts. And I see here that Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, one that was chosen by Jesus Himself to follow Him, made it in the Bible. Here he is, he's up in the upper room with the other fellas. And as he walks in the door, the other disciples say, "You won't believe it, but he was here." And he said, "Who?" "Jesus, he's risen, he was here." And here's Thomas. "I don't believe you." He said, "I don't believe a word you're saying." Now, Thomas, in my imagination, if Thomas was here tonight in this congregation, he'd be sitting on the back row. Now, I'm no offense to anybody on the back row, amen? But he's one of these guys that's going to sit in the back row and watch. Now, he's one of these guys that he's not going to jump on the first wagon that goes by. He's just going to kind of feel it out and see. He may be someone like maybe here tonight and saying, "Well, God, I'm going to show up for church tonight, but if you don't show me anything tonight, I'm done." Maybe someone here tonight is having a hard time believing God. Maybe someone here tonight is going through a hard and a rough patch in their life, and they're having a hard time believing God's going to do something great. And I can see doubting Thomas as he's on the back row of the church. And he walks into the room and he said, "I don't believe you." These were men he walked with. These were men he slept with. These were men that he ate with. These were men that he spent 3 years walking with Jesus, seeing the miracles of Jesus Himself. And he said, "I don't believe you." And they said, "No, he was here. He really was." He said, "I don't believe you." He said, "I tell you what, I'll believe you if I can put my finger through the nail prints of his hand." He goes, "I tell you what, I won't even believe that. I want to put my hand through his side." Now, some of us independent fundamental Baptists, we would have just wrote him off right there, right? We would have said, "No, you've committed the unpardonable sin. You're done." That's what we would have done. But what happens 8 days later? What happens 8 days later? Here Thomas enters back in that room with the other men, and they're sitting around. Who shows up? He don't need the door. He is the door, amen? And Jesus shows up, and he says, "Thomas." And he shows him the nail prints. And the Bible doesn't say Thomas ever touched him. But what did Thomas do? He said, "My God, my Lord." You know what that is? That's a second chance. We would have wrote him off. We would have said, "Thomas, you've messed up. You're done. It's stick a fork in you. You'll never make it in the ministry. But here comes Jesus. Give him a second chance. Amen. 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 And he shows up and he said, "My God, my Lord." That's that second chance. Sometimes we're going to doubt things in our life. That's the way we are. We're going to doubt. You say, "Preacher, have you ever doubted?" My word. I could write a book on it. But just like Thomas, God can give us a second chance and will give us a second chance if we trust Him. Some of us in this room may be saying, "God, if you don't show me a sign, I won't believe it." But I'm here tonight to say, even the Lord used Thomas, doubting Thomas. Amen? Let's look at the second one. This is the one I call the deceiving one. The deceiving one. First, we've seen the doubting ones. First, we dealt with those that doubted Jesus. Those that doubted God in the flesh. I mean, he seen him. He walked with him and he still doubted. Now let's look at the deceiving one. This is one that I would say if he was in church tonight, he'd be sitting about in the middle row. He'd be sitting in the middle row. He's one that will say, "Well, I'm going to go to church, but I don't want them to think that I'm backslidden, but I'm not super spiritual, so I'm going to sit in the front, in the middle row. I don't want people to really notice my problems. I don't want people to really notice that I'm faking it." And this one that I call the deceiving one tonight is Judas. And you take Judas. Now here's a man that you wouldn't even name your dog after him, right? I mean, if it was a woman, it would be what? Jezebel. You wouldn't even name your dog Jezebel. Judas, you wouldn't even name your children Judas. Why? Because Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus himself. Now, Independent Baptist, we'd say, he's done. You've gone way too far. But we're not even going to remember you. But let's go up to the upper room. Let's go to what we call the Lord's Supper. Here are the 12 gathered around with Jesus. And Jesus is about to break bread. And about to present the wine as his blood, which, by the way, it was unfermented. Amen. How can it be fermented if it represents a pure blood? Hello. And here he is about to tell the disciples what's about to happen to him. And he tells the disciples, he says, "One is going to betray me." And what did the disciples do? Now, I can just picture right now, if it was a bunch of Independent Baptists, everybody would be saying, "Hey, I bet it's Judas. I know all along. Hey, it's Peter. I'm telling you, I seen him the other day. It's Peter. He's talking about Peter." Come on, we're all like this. We're sitting in the church, and the preacher will talk about something, and we'll all go, "I wonder who he's talking about." Amen? Amen? But that's not what they said. What did they say? They all said, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" And Jesus said, "The one I give the sop to will betray me." What is that a picture of? You Bible scholars know this. The one that got the sop was who? The honored guest. And that culture in that time, the one that the host gives the sop to is his honored guest. And who did he give the sop to? The one you wouldn't even name your dog after. You know what that's saying? That's saying that Jesus says, "I still love you." You may be here tonight saying, "I've deceived him. I've deceived God. I've deceived the preacher. I've deceived the church. There's no way I can go any further. I'm going to go to church here tonight. I'm going to sit in the middle row. I'm going to make it look like I'm doing good. I'm going to make it look like I'm spiritual, but I'm not. I've deceived God, and He'll never use me. Judas was His honored guest. Yes, Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus. Jesus says, I love you and I want you as my honored guest. I mean, here was Jesus. Here was Judas. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. But Jesus still said, you're my honored guest. If you're here tonight, you say, I'm doubting. I've doubted. God will give you a second chance. If you're here tonight and saying, I've deceived Him, I've robbed God, I've skimmed on my tithe, I've skimmed on my mission giving, there's no way I've deceived God. He'll never forgive me. You could be His honored guest at the supper table. Amen? So tonight we've seen Thomas. Then we've seen Judas. And the third one, this is the one I like. This is... You know, out of all the disciples, out of the 12, I like John. I mean, I like to study after John, and I've not found a good book about John yet. But I like to study after John. I mean, John. John, the one that Jesus loved. I mean, what a title to have. The one, the beloved disciple. I like John. But if I was to say to, out of the 12, who I'm more like as a person, I would say it's this third one, and the one I call the denying one. We've seen the doubting one, we've seen the deceiving one, and tonight we're going to look at the denying one. I would say I'm more like Peter. Amen? You know, Peter was the only disciple that his mouth was shaped like a foot. Amen. And that's a picture of me. Always put my foot in my mouth. And here Peter, I mean, Peter was like, he was a disciple that had an itchy trigger finger. He was just itching for someone to do something. He's one of those fellas that said, come on, I dare someone to do it. Here he was, a fisherman. He was nothing but a cursing sailor. And God said, follow me. God called him the rock. Jesus named him the rock. It's amazing. The one of the most unstable disciples, and God still called him a rock. And here was Peter. Peter was one of those guys that if he was in church tonight, I believe he'd be on the front row. I believe he'd be a front row preacher that sat up here and say, amen, preacher, let her rip, amen. He was one of those that were out here in front. He wanted people to think that he was somebody special, that he was super spiritual. He was always the first on the scene. Now, you remember when Peter and John ran to the sepulcher, that John outran Peter. Some say because John was younger than Peter. But John outran Peter, but it was John that stopped at the entrance, stopped and looked and saw. It's an amazing message in that. And who was it that ran right in? That was Peter. That was Peter. See, Peter was one of them that would just jump right up to the front. He wanted to know everybody's business. He was one of those that would sit on the front row. But Peter had a problem. He had a lot of problems. Peter was so itchy, he cut the ear off of that Roman soldier. Peter had a problem that when all everything was over, what did Peter say? He said, I'm going fishing, fellas. I said, Peter, what are you going to do next? He said, I'm going fishing. Peter was one of those fellas that you just never knew what he was going to do next. He was always first to answer. He was always first to jump in and say something. When Jesus would ask a question, Peter would jump right in and say something. And I would say he's one that would be sitting on the front row tonight. But what happened whenever they were, as Jesus was on his way to the cross? Where was Peter? Now here's this super preacher, right? One of these that would sit on the front row. Where was Peter? Peter was warming his hands by the fire. Yeah, this is the same Peter. Yeah, this is the Peter. Warming his hands by the fire, and someone says, "Hey, aren't you one of them?" He's, "I'm not one of them." He's warming his hands by the world's fire. It's kind of like some of us. When we get out there in the world, they say, "Aren't you one of them Christians?" And you'll say, you won't say nothing. Oh, you're not denying, but you are. Some of them, they say, "Hey, aren't you one of those that go down to that Gateway Baptist Church?" You won't say nothing. Oh, Peter, that's what Peter was doing. "Hey, I'm not one of them." Someone else says, "Hey, aren't you one of those?" He says, "I'm not one of them." Third person comes up, and what did he do? He started cursing. He said, "I'm not one of them. I'm not with them." And that's when he heard the rooster start crowing. And the Bible says that he wept bitterly. Yeah, this is Peter. This is Peter cutting the ear off the soldier, denying Jesus. I mean, the one opportunity that Jesus could have had, or Peter could have had, he denied Christ. He's the denying one. Some of you may be here tonight saying, "I've denied him so much, God can't use me. I'm like that Peter." Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. I want to show you something tonight. Verse number 1. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Solomon had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Verse 2. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, 'Who will roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place they lay him.'" And here's what I want you to see in verse number 7. This is what he instructs the women to do. He tells them, he says, "Go your way, tell the disciples and Peter." He's saying, "Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He's going to heaven to present the blood upon the mercy seat to sit on the right hand of God." And he left us a message, and he says, "Go tell the disciples. Go tell them. Tell them I'm risen. Go tell them I've got the victory. They can have the victory to me. Also, go tell the disciples. Oh, and by the way, don't forget Peter." Amen. Don't forget Peter. Peter, is this the same Peter that cut the ear off of the Roman soldier? It's the same Peter. Are you telling me this is the Peter that was warming his hand by the world's fire and denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times? It's the same Peter. Are you telling me this is the same Peter that said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm going fishing"? Yep, it's the same Peter. What was he saying? What was he saying? He said, "Hey, go tell the disciples. And oh, by the way, don't forget Peter. Don't forget him." You may be here tonight saying, "I've denied God way too much. He's forgotten me. He's probably forgotten my name." Amen? But in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, "Hey, don't forget Peter. Don't forget him. Peter's going to do some great things. You say, God will never use me. I'm done. I've messed up. I bet Peter was, when he was weeping bitterly, he was probably saying, I'm done. It's over. But Jesus said, hey, don't forget Peter. Amen. Peter went on to be the greatest preacher in the day of Pentecost. 5,000 souls saved, 7,000 souls saved. It was Peter and John that went into the gate that was called Beautiful. It went into the gate that was called Beautiful and told the man, silver and gold have I none, but this such I give you. And he healed the man, the lame man that was carried daily to that gate. That was Peter and John. It was Peter that had a part in writing part of the New Testament. None of us in this room said can say we've had that part, amen? That was Peter. See, folks, we serve a God of second chances. He said, preacher, you just don't understand. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've seen. You don't know where these hands have been. You don't know where these feet have walked. You don't know where what these eyes have looked at. I know what Thomas has said. God gave him a second chance. I know what Judas did. I mean, he sold his soul to the devil for 30 pieces of silver. And God said, you're my honored guest. And then Peter, foul mouth, unstable sailor. God said, don't forget Peter. So, folks, there's an altar here tonight. It's an old-fashioned altar. You know, we sang that song, Victory in Jesus. It may be an old story, but it's a new victory every time you come to the altar. It may be an old story to you. You say, my daddy preached that before. My grandpa, he said that before. That's just an old story. That's old, they like to say now, that's old school. Well, you know what? I'd rather go to the old school than some of these new schools, amen? But there's an old-fashioned altar here tonight. This is where you do business with God. And say, Lord, I've doubted, I've deceived, and I've denied. Ask God to forgive you tonight. He'll give you that second chance. You'll be that honored guest. And guess what? He knows your name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. We can gather together. Thank you for this opportunity to preach the word. God, tonight as we come to the altar, this time of invitation, Lord, bless those that need it tonight, Lord. May you touch the hearts. God, I don't know who it is, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly who needed this tonight. God, help us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, preacher.